Welcome to Pharmacy Focus, Policy Edition, where we discuss important legislative developments and their impact in pharmacy.
On this episode, we spoke with Greg Baker, CEO of AffirmedRx, about the Drug Act and what this means for pharmacies.
So can you provide a brief overview of the Drug Act and its significance in addressing the practices of pharmacy benefit managers?
Yes, Ashley, I can. So the Drug Act comes out of the House Oversight and Accountability Committee. It stands for Delinking Revenue in the Unfair Gouging Act. We actually are behind this act. We have also helped Representative Comer, who brought it forward, which we think is going to be very impactful to help save money, hopefully, for millions of Americans. Basically, the biggest piece of the act goes into that word delinking, because within the PBM industry, most PBMs make their profit as a percentage of revenue, which happens in a lot of businesses, right? But in the PBM industry, it's probably more nefarious than other industries, because like if a PBM has a $50 drug it can put on its formulary, or a $5,000 drug it can put on its formulary, and it knows it's going to make 10%, a lot more often than not, these for-profit companies that are run by PBMs want the $5,000 drug. And that's a big part of the reason why drug costs continue to go up in America. So that delinking of profit to cost of drug, I think, is going to be really important. And they're saying PBMs should only be able to pay up or charge a flat admin fee. So if the PBM is only making, call it $5, and now it says, hey, there's a $5,000 drug or a $50 drug I could approve, and either one, I make $5, maybe they'll start making better decisions, I think is the hope. But then also it'll do a couple other things. It's really looking to limit spread pricing, and this is mostly in the federal employee health plans, but you know, a lot of times as we see this legislation passed there, it extends into a lot of the commercial plans. The big thing, too, from a pharmacist standpoint in general, is it's going to try to prohibit PBMs paying their own pharmacies more than they pay independent or community pharmacies. And then additionally, it's also going to block PBMs from steering patients to their own pharmacy over other pharmacies that could be more convenient. So those are the four big items that are really going to come out of the Drug Act.
What are the implications of delinking policies mandated by the legislation for PBMs?
Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see. And the bill just advanced out of the Oversight and Accountability Committee. So we'll have to see what the final version looks like. Again, I think the hope is if we can delink PBM's profit away from the cost of the drug, it should hopefully drive down costs, because then maybe PBMs will pick lower cost drugs to put on their formularies if they're not incented to do something else. Now, as we say that, one of the interesting things that comes out of these bills, which, you know, maybe being a pessimist here for a second, but, one of the bills had a $10,000 per day penalty if a PBM, say, doesn't, do these things that are in the Drug Act. Well, if you do $10,000 a day times 365 days, that's $3.65 million. Let's do that times 10 years, that's $36.5 million. So part of what we would be worried about is some of these big PBMs that, let's face it, are making $12 to $15 billion a year just in free cash flow. You know, are they going to be good corporate citizens and say, hey, thanks for passing the Drug Act, we're not going to follow it, but here's a $36.5 million check, which is nothing to me. Come back in 10 years and then we'll let you know what we're doing at that point in time. So, really tying the penalties to what the drugs say, I think, is going to be important if we're really going to get action to, have these PBMs do something with these delinking policies.
How do you foresee delinking PBM compensation from the list price of prescription drugs kind of affect the overall spending in the US over the next few decades or so?
Yeah, that's a very good question. Thank you. I'll give you the hopeful response. I think if this law passes and all PBMs have to start following this for every prescription that they fill, I fundamentally believe we, instead of seeing an 8 to 12% annual increase in drug costs, we should start seeing negative increases in drug costs at least over the next couple years before it maybe flatlines and then could potentially start going up. But our general contention is the bad formulary decisions that PBMs make, again, where they pick that $5,000 drug example over the $50 drug example, probably drive anywhere between, my guess, just Greg's opinion, 15 to 20% of drug spending. So if we clean that up, when you consider that we spend $500 billion a year on medications at the community and through mail and specialty pharmacies, and we could take 20% of that or $100 billion out of the system, just in 1 year, it could be really impactful to drug affordability for all Americans.
In what ways do you think further congressional actions, including delinking and transparency, will benefit patients and pharmacies?
Yeah, and thank you. I love that pharmacy question too. I think a couple things could come forth that we would really be excited to see. One, we do know that pharmacies also get paid a percentage of a sometimes moderately fictitious number as they're getting contracts with PBMs. They don't get paid usually fair dispensing fees. And as the Drug Act really points out, a lot of times if it's a pharmacy affiliated with the PBM, they get paid more. So the more we can say, let's make sure that everybody gets kind of a fair wage for what they're doing. Like, here's the acquisition cost of the drug is a truer acquisition cost, and then let's pay a fair dispensing fee for these. I think almost using that same concept of delinking to say every time a PBM touches a drug, say they get $5 in admin fee, that's it. Well, every time a pharmacist touches a drug to fill it for a patient, maybe they get 10 bucks. That's it. So, I think the system has been bastardized, for lack of a better term, into trying to do these fictitious discounts and move things around so that you can underpay pharmacy on one side, overcharge the plan sponsor on the other side, and then the PBM can just sit in the middle and rake in billions and billions of dollars in profit. So, if we can really focus on that, and then to the other important word in your question there is transparency. Really get transparency on what's happening in the system. Again, we fundamentally think drug costs will go down significantly in America. There's an organization that is a trade organization for PBMs called PCMA. It's not the only one, but PCMA is the one that we don't trust because they really continue to say, hey, PBMs save Americans all this money. And we continue to go to, these PBMs and say, well, then prove it. Just put all the data out there, right? Let's prove it once and for all that you give all the plan sponsors all their data, show them everything that's happening at a drug level, and then we don't have to have these questions anymore. And as we sit here, they're not doing it. And then at the same time, you've got another trade organization, TransparencyRx, which we are members of and we strongly support, who's really saying transparency matters, put the data out there. Make sure that everybody really gets to see what's happening, and then let plan sponsors actually make a true decision with the data where people are getting paid a fair wage all throughout the system. That would be really fun to see if we could get all of those pieces of legislation to pass and get this whole PBM industry working in a better way for Americans.
And then, are there any other legislation on the horizon that pharmacists should be keeping an eye on regarding PBM reform?
That's kind of a big question right now. I think at last count there was 40 some odd bills going through the federal government. And then when you even think about it at a state level, there's even more bills. What I would kind of say is, one, the state bills really seem to focus on making sure that community pharmacy gets paid a fair wage. Part of the problem with that is that just gives every pharmacist kind of a baseline. So Walgreens, CVS, Independence, everybody makes the same. But what are we getting for those prescriptions, right? So I think there is some legislation coming that is focused on the community pharmacy side and repayment, but are there then strings attached to make sure that some sort of data or outcome is being tied to those payments? So again, those are more at the state level where we continue to see that. I think from a federal level, they talk a lot about the spread pricing concept, the delinking concept, a lot about transparency. Many of the bills are very similar, but I would say pharmacists have Probably, and I'm a pharmacist by training myself, so I put myself in this boat, have historically just kind of gone to work and taken care of our patients and tried to do the right thing. And we've let the system take advantage of us. Now is a really important time because in our lifetimes, we're only going to see PBM reform happen once, in my opinion. So now is the time for pharmacy to really be an advocate for itself, and reach out to its local congressman and senator. You know, talk to the American Pharmacists Association because they're very active in this. Look at the things groups like Transparency RX is a trade organization are putting out, trying to educate people on why this industry is broken and the things they can do to fix it and make it better.
And then, as we're beginning to wrap up, is there anything else that you would like to add?
Yeah, thanks, Ashley. I think it's kind of exciting to watch this all play out. Again, I think the more legislators hear from pharmacists in particular, the more they care. Legislators in general don't care about PBMs or their trade organizations that show up. They don't really care about the pharmaceutical manufacturers that are trade organizations or lobbyists who show up. I mean, they kind of do. We've spent a lot of time in Washington, D.C., I would say over the last year and a half, as people have really been looking into PBM reform. And I can say they personally care when a community pharmacist from, you know, their district, their, you know, congressional area calls and says, "Here's what's happening to me. Let me tell a story about what I saw either in my pharmacy, what happened to another constituent, how something happened that was bad for our public." Those stories really add up and matter. So, is pharmacists are really thinking about what's happening in the industry today, what's happening with PBM reform? I would say they actually have a lot of influence on how this can play out if they make their voice heard. So, you know, the more I think everybody can share stories about what's happening in this industry and then collaboratively come up with solutions that could potentially help us get a better outcome, again, now is the time to do it. If we wait 2 years, the time will have passed. We couldn't have done it 2 years ago. And now is a really important time, I think, for people to thank you, as you've done, put some information out there, learn more about what's happening, and then hopefully get involved and figure out how we can make it better.
I'm Ashley Gallagher from Pharmacy Times. Thank you for listening to Pharmacy Focus Policy Edition, where we discuss important legislative developments as well as policy updates and their impact on pharmacy.